We'll learn how Elianovi comes to Achov. But the first step is he meets up with Avadyohu, one of the Nevi Hashem. Now Avadyohu was actually one of the managers of Achav HaMelech's home. Strange shidduch, because Avadyohu was a Novi, the tzaddik, and Achav was mamish, as we learned, tremendous rosha. Chazal tell us that normally when a tzaddik is found in the presence, even of a rosha, they're blessed. The rosha is blessed. Moshe Lov and Arami told Yankiv Avinu, "Nichashti vayivocheni Hashem biglolech." Right? So Lov and Arami told Yankiv Avinu, because of you, Hashem blessed me. Lovin's whole estate grew. Lovin's business grew. Even his behemoths, his cattle, ended up multiplying to crazy, beyond, way beyond expectation. Because Yankiv was there. Yankiv made that the house of Lov and Arami got gebenched. So Chazal tell us here that this was the cheshbon of Achav. Omar Av Yitzchok, this is a gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Tes. Omar Av Yitzchok, Omale, B'Yankiv K'siv Nichashti V'Yivocheni Hashem. By Yankiv Avinu, when he moved into Lovin's home, all of a sudden he got blessed. B'Yosef K'siv, when Yosef moved into the house of Potiphera, the whole house was blessed. Says the pasuk, "Vayivorech Hashem es beis haMitzri biglal Yosef." So Achav actually had Avadya there because he wanted to get bracha. That was his cheshbon. Achav knew that he's not roy to get bracha. He figured he'll get a holy man in his home. He'll get a bracha. Just like Lovin was blessed by having Yankiv, and Potiphera was blessed by having Yosef, so Achav will be blessed by having Avadyohu. That was his cheshbon. But it turned out that he wasn't being blessed. He was starving. There was a famine and he was starving also. So Memela, he called in Avadyohu. That's what the Gemara is saying in Sanhedrin. He called in Avadyohu and he told him, "I don't get it. Maybe you're not a real tzaddik. Maybe you're not the real thing. Because I know my predecessors, Lovon, Potiphera, they benefited from the tzaddik, and you're not working. If you're not working, it means there's a problem." Yotze baskel v'omro v'oivadyo ho'yorei Hashem mo'oid. Zoch tegemor in Sanhedrin. So a baskel went out and said it wasn't Ovadia's problem. Ovadia was a big tzaddik. Ahu gavro ain't mezumen lebracha. This guy wasn't mezumen for bracha. Meaning Achav wasn't able to be blessed. So the question is why? Lov and Arami is not a tzaddik. He was a rosha. He got blessed because of Yankiv Avinu. Potiphera got blessed. We don't know much about Potiphera. But it's mashma, he wasn't deserving either. He got blessed because of Yosef HaTzadik. And mitamo, Achav the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, he wasn't wrong. You realize the compliment he got. That the Torah testifies, Ovadya Yore Hashem Oid. Comes the Gemara. Listen what the Gemara says, right in Sanhedrin. Says the Gemara, Godo Mashenema Bavadyo. That what the Torah is telling us here in Novi is that Avadya had a greater element than Avraham Avinu. Doesn't say Mo'oid. Peladik Chazal. But Chazal are telling us that Ovadia was so great that it says about him more than it said by Avraham Avinu. By Avraham it says Yireh Likimato, and over here it says Moed. Zeshtein Chazal. Now I'll bring to your attention. First of all, Chazal alone is a Pela. Golu Mashenema Bavadio, Mimashenema Bavraham Avinu. So it's a Pela. But it's a bigger Pela than you think. Bigger Pela than you think. Avraham Avinu had 10 nisyonos, right? Which was the biggest nisyon? Akedah's Yitzchok, biggest nisyon. If Akedah's Yitzchok, Avraham was on the highest level. Highest level. The Gemara brings out in Sanhedrin that Avraham Avinu, all the 10 nisyonos were not equal to the Akedah. Hashem told Avraham, Akedah, that is it. That is the epitome of all the nisyonos. So Avraham Avinu is on the height of Avraham Avinu. At that moment, Hashem told him, Yireh Elokim Atro, not Mo'ed. Could you imagine? That means what the Gemara in Sanhedrin is telling us is that Avraham Avinu, after the Akedah, okay, after Akedah's Yitzchok, lower level than Ovadia's Yerushalayim. It's not shaykh. That's the way it reads. It's not shaykh to understand the Chazal. What in the world is going on here? Okay. But l'chayre, the Torah told us enough about Avadyo. The Torah told us here about Avadyo more than it says about Avraham Avinu. But now the Torah gives us a, because in case we don't know, to tell us how chashiv he was. Says the pasuk. Vayhi b'achris Yizevel as Nevi Hashem. When Yizevel, who was the wife of Achav, she was the biggest Roshanta. Chazal blamed her for a lot of Achav's problems. Vayhi b'achris Yizevel as Nevi Hashem. Vayikach Ovadia Yemei Nevim. Vayachbiyim Chamishim Mishpamara. Anyway, Ovadia went and he saved 100 Nevim. Yeah? So now we need a story time. We need to get around the Maggid's table and get stories. We already said that Ovadia is bigger than Avraham Avinu. Now what does the Torah tell us? A basic thing that he did. He saved the Nevi'im from being killed. That's something any good Samaritan would do. Which person wouldn't try to save Nevi'im? During World War II, Rachmana Litzlan, there were goyim that saved Jews. They were good goyim. Chassidim Salem. They saved Jews. They couldn't watch the murder. They couldn't watch the genocide. The goyim saved Eden. Right? Many stories like that. Many, many stories like that. So Ovadia, he was working. He was a manager in Achav's home. He saw that Achav's wife, the princess, the queen, rather, is actually killing out mercilessly the Nevi'im. So she went, he went and he intervened, he saved 100 Nevi'im. Taka, very nice. Taka, very nice. There are plenty of goyim that do that kind of thing. Taka, very nice. You already told me, for Ovadia Yireh Hashem Mo'ed more than Avraham Avinu. Now you tell me a story that any human person with some humanity would do. You want to tell me Gedolim stories? Tell me Gedolim stories. If I'm talking about Rav Moshe Feinstein's, that's how. I'm not going to tell you that he took a Dirshu Mishtabura test and he passed it. Even though it's very nice, if somebody could take a Dirshu Mishtabura test on the Mishtabura and pass it, it's very nice. I'm very proud. So Talmud comes over to me, says he took the Dirshu test on Mishtabura. Very nice. Mazel tov. We can even make a Siyum. A couple of months ago, Talmud here asked me if he could make a Siyum. He took the Bechinus on the Dirshu, and once he finishes it, can he make a Siyum like he's making a Masech? I told him 100% he can make a Siyum. And I'll come to the party and everything. It's Gevaldik. But if I told you about Rav Moshe Feinstein, you'd think I lost my mind. If I told you, I want to tell you about Gadol Maaseh from Rav Moshe. So yeah, tell me about Rav Moshe. He took a Dirshu test. Mishtabura. He passed. Passed the test. He got a 90. 90, not Salmi passed. He got a pretty good grade. And in fact, Dirshu was planning on the next Siyum to, you know, put him on the poster. Moshe, you say something's going wrong, somebody's going haywire here. There's Moshe Feinstein. He went through Shulchan Aruch, I think, 387 times. Tal Chalkei Shulchan Aruch, with the Prima Gordon, with Medalsting. So I'm not impressing you that he got the Dirshu test on the Mishnah Berurah. So here the Torah tells you, Oivadio Yore Hashem Moed. Say Chazal, Godel Mashanema, Bovadi Mashanema, Bavrom Avinu. Okay, now tell me an impressive story. Tell me something about the Kivshon Ha'esh. Tell me something that's more impressive than the 10 Nisyonos of Avraham Avinu. Instead, you tell me a story. Fine, he saved. Izevel was killing out Nevi'im, cold blood murder, and he saved 100 Nevi'im. It's not very nice. I'm not taking away from him. It's very nice. So what? So these are the problems. Problem number one, why didn't Ovadia bless the home of Achav? So Chazal tells us Achav's home wasn't Mizuman Lebrocha. What does that mean? Why was he worse than Lavan Arami? Problem number two, Pella number two, is that L'chaira, how could you say that Avadio had more Yir Shamayim than Avom Avinu after the Akedah? Problem number three is why should we be impressed? Why is the Navi trying to impress us by saying that he saved Nevi'im from murder? That's a humane thing to do. Anybody with some human side to them and has the ability to save. You know how many visas? You know how many visas were made out by Goyim Gmur, who falsified visas to get Jews out of Germany? And out of the other Medinas where they were in a Sakon. It's a human thing to do. It's humanity. What's the great big deal? So here's the story that I think was Likdo to explain really the whole thing from beginning to end. We find that Lavan was Taka blessed because of Yankiv Avin. But then we find it seems that Lavan's bracha started dwindling. Because we know at the end, Lavan's children were very upset with Yaakov Avinu. And the Torah says they said, Lokach Yaakov me'asher Lavinu. Lavan Arami's sons said, look, Yaakov Avinu is getting everything. And Yaakov Avinu himself says, Vayatzel Elokim es miknas avichem ve'yiten li. Yaakov himself tells the Emoyes, Hashem gave your father's cattle to me. So the end, was that a lot of the bracha that Lavan Arami got went to Yaakov Avinu. So the question could be asked, why did that happen? If Hashem blessed Lavan Arami because of Yaakov Avinu, he should have been able to keep his bracha. From the simple reading of the psukim, it sounds like Lavan at the end lost a lot. It went over to Yaakov. Now the Eibishter is, it's not like there's a shortage by the Rebbein Hashem Kvayachal. The Eibishter could give Lavan plenty. He could give Yankiv plenty. He doesn't have to take Lavan's and give to Yankiv. Right? The Rebbein Hashem could have kept Lavan his bracha. Lavan got his lottery ticket because he had Yaakov Avinu there. Lavan could have kept his lottery ticket. And Yankiv Avinu could have gotten his own. Instead, Yankiv Avinu testifies, Vayatzel Elokim esmiknei avichem vayiten li. Yaakov ended up getting most of the cattle. Why? Why is that? So the idea you could say is like this. I said over a Moir Dika Meisen shul, this Shabbos, Moir Dika Meisen, it's kedai for all of you to hear the Meisen. Moir Dika Meisen. The Meisen I said over in shul was with the Ritvaz. The Ritvaz was one of the Goinim in Slutsk. He was a Slutsk Rav, the Slutsk Rav Shashiva. We say his Torah here in Yeshiva all the time. I give you Yerushalmi Shir in the morning. He wrote a sefer on the whole Yerushalmi, a Pirush on the Yerushalmi. So the Ritvaz, it's not the Radvaz. The Radvaz was a Kadman. The Ritvaz lived in our door 100 years ago. He was in our generation. Around the corner. The Ritvaz, He was the predecessor of the Devon Oslo, Bissa Zalman Meltz. It was also Rav in Slutsk. This story happened in Europe, and the year was 1913, in Eretz Yisrael rather. The Ritvaz immigrated to Eretz Yisrael. He was already in his end of his life. And he started yeshiva in Tzvatz. Besides that, he had, when he was in Europe, he was a Rosh Yeshiva. When he immigrated to Eretz Yisrael, he started yeshiva in Tzvatz. He was from the originals of the yeshiv, the new yeshiv that was built up in Tzvatz. Anyway, 1913 in Tzvatz, the winter, it was freezing. Usually Tzvatz, you could go there, it's beautiful. You go there in the middle of the winter, it's beautiful. It doesn't get very cold. This was the coldest winter on record in Tzvatz. There was a blizzard, snowstorm, shrekachin. You know in Eretz Yisrael, when there's snow over there, they close everything down. They close everything down. In Tov Shin Lamed Gimel, when I lived in Eretz Yisrael, wow, my old, huh? Tov Shin Lamed Gimel. When we lived in Eretz Yisrael, I went to yeshiva. And the bus ride to yeshiva, every day that I went to yeshiva on the bus, on the public bus, I was a little kid, I was 7 years old. I used to make like a hagoyim when I got to yeshiva, that I was saved and I managed to get to yeshiva. The bus used to drive narrow roads, cliffs on both sides. Meshuge. I don't know how we made it every day. One day I'm going to yeshiva, there was literally snow flurries coming down the middle on the way to yeshiva. This egghead bus driver pulls over to the side of the road. Everybody off the bus. He's not driving. Lama nahag, lama talo olech. You know, why, driver? Why aren't you going? Sakana. I was wondering, as a little kid, I was wondering, what's in this guy's head? It's a lot dangerous, more dangerous the way he drives than the snow flurries. That's the way it is, the mindset. They don't drive in the snow. The snow, they close down the whole country. Things close. So in Tzfas, it was mamish, a blizzard that morning. Nobody came to shul. 9 young chever braved the snow. They came to shul. Can't make a minyan with 9 people. Right, Meyer? Doesn't work with 9. You need 10. They were stuck. And the hour, it's moving. The 9 people that came to shul were giving up. The Gabbai Rav Shamoy, the famous Gabbai Rav Shamoy Klugel, he looks out the window, he sees, I see another person coming. Mamish, they were thrilled, they were jumping for joy. But the strange thing is, the guy was buried under coats and blankets and ice. He's walking. He looked like an old man. They're wondering which old man, Meshugana, is walking out in this weather. Anyway, he walks out of the shul. He finds him. He walks him into the shul. The guy starts taking off the layers of clothing. It's none other than the Ritvaz. Spoiled the Ritvaz. The old Ritvaz, the Alta Yid, the Rosh Hashiva, who doesn't go out in the cold at all. Today he comes out. Not only he came to shul, he davened for the Omid. Davened Shachas for the Omid, he said Kaddish. After davening, everybody wants to know what's Pshat. So he got up, he said Pshat. He said, Rabbi Sai, I want you to know why I came today. He says, when I looked outside, I was potter from coming today. In his age, in this weather, potter. Snow day, like we call it over here. It's a valid snow day. It's a snow day. He's off. He says, but I remember the story from 62 years ago. He says, 62 years ago when I was a boy, I was in Cheder. My parents, those days, the parents of Cheder, necessarily, he didn't go necessarily to a Cheder. You hired a Cheder Rebbe to teach you. So my parents hired a Rebbe to teach me. Every day would teach me. And the Ritvaz was a prodigy. Had a good head. Was a good Talmud. Already at 7, they were able to see this kid is not going to be, you know, he's going to get the Mishnayos contest. He's going to be on the Pirkei Mishnayos Baal Peh contest. This kid is going to be something. No. Says, the Rebbe came to my parents' house and he tells them, Tyre Elton, you have a great son. He's a great kid. This Yankiv David, that was the Ritvaz's name, Yankiv David, he could be something special. But I'll tell you the truth, you haven't paid me in months and my family is starving. And I would love to teach him for free. I can't afford it. So as of tomorrow, I have to stop teaching. And the parents, needless to say, felt very bad. They understood where he's coming from. The guy can't live on nothing. So, says the Ritva's, my parents, mamish, were crying. Crying uncontrollably. That I'm going to have to lose my Rebbe. They're crying uncontrollably. Finally, my father thought of an idea. He was an oven maker. In Europe, that was a big business, make an oven. It wasn't just to cook, it would heat up the house. Like today, you have a boil. No. He says, but the business was slow. My father wasn't making money. He thought of an idea. He's going to take apart the oven in our house. You hear Moshe? Take apart the whole oven, all the stones, and sell the blocks in the market. And with that money, you'll pay the Malamed. And they'll be able to survive. Anyway, the Ritva's, as a little boy, he's thinking, I can't believe. How could my parents do that? This is Eastern Europe. You know what was in Eastern Europe in the winter? You know how it is in yeshiva when it's 65, the heat's not working well? The room has to always be 67, 68. If in the summer it's over 68, you can't learn because it's too hot. And if in the winter it's colder than 67, you can't learn because it's too cold. We are spoiled brats. Okay? We're spoiled brats. When I grew up, you know, air conditioning in the car? In the house, you didn't have the houses, you didn't have air conditioning. In the car? And you went up to the mountains for 3 hours on a summer day. After 5 minutes in the car, you were sweating bullets. They didn't have leather seats then. It was vinyl. Hard, hot vinyl. 100 degrees, 95 degrees. Today, if the air conditioning breaks on the car, it's closed. It's knocked off. Me and my wife once went to the Five Towns. One of our kids, we had to switch cars, whatever it was. The car, the air conditioner broke on the way up. So my kid, I'm not going to say who it is. My kid tells me, okay, so Ta, who's going to drive the car back? So open the windows and drive back. It was like the transmission broke. The car doesn't move. The air conditioner's not working. So, you know, go at night with the windows open. Nishkefelech, right? At night with the, I can't, Ta, it's not trying. So do you want me to tow it? Maybe. Okay, you can't tow to Muncie because it's too hot. Yeah. Mishugin Kaparain. When I was a kid, I didn't let my father's radiator broke. He overheated on Route 17 and he wanted to tow his car. I said, Ta, that's expensive. I'll take the car home. How do I get a car home without a radiator? Can't carry the car. I went to a gas station. I filled up 5-6 old antifreeze containers with water, filled up the radiator, drove 5 miles, stopped, filled it up again. Well, that's how I brought it home. It took me, how many hours to get home. I stopped every couple of exits and filled it up with water. That's what I meant when I said the car is too hot. The radiator is busted. And even then we took the car back. And this generation, how are we going to get the car back? 40 miles without AC, with the windows open at night. Guess you have to tow it. Don't worry, I made him drive it back. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to spoil my kids that much. No. You know what is in Eastern Europe? To sell your oven? That's how you're heating your house? And they did that so the kids should be able to learn. And the whole winter they lived in a freezing home so that Yanka David could go to yeshiva to learn. So Yankiv David got up this morning. He says, I got up. I looked out the window. I said, no way I could go to shul. But it's my father's yahrzeit. And I remember the fact that he gave up his oven in the middle of the winter. So I should go to yeshiva. So now I'm not going to say kaddish for him. Because it's too cold. There's too much snow outside. He lived through a winter without heat. So I should be able to learn. So I buried myself. And I came. The people in shul then said, oh, now we know where the Ritva's came from. Now we know how we got the Ritva's. These kind of parents, that's how we got the Ritva's. Doesn't the Ritva's. So now we go back to Avadia, we can understand everything. But it's going to have to wait till tomorrow.